I invite your attention to the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. And if you have any difficulty finding this particular book, I will earnestly pray for you. It is indeed the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and I invite your attention to that 12th chapter as we hear God's word and the testimony of someone chosen by God. If you're there, you'll hear words, you'll read words similar to these as I read them into your hearing. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. That grips us. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Could that be said about you and I? For our message for the morning is that God is taking us to move beyond just being blessed and becoming blessings. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Now we ask that you would open your words into our ears and into our hearts, that it might take deep root and produce fruit for your will. As it is then, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this has to be one of my most favorite times of year. This time of year is very special to me as our society, the American society, gives tribute to a dream and a dreamer. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. personified the embodiment of all the personalities that challenged the landscape of America and challenge the consciousness, if you would, to allow all Americans to enjoy the blessings of life, liberty, and the... I figured you knew it. And the pursuit of happiness, that we pause and celebrate our nation's accomplishment as we strive to celebrate unity in the midst of diversity. And I am so grateful, so glad to be a part of a church family that don't mind celebrating that vision and the ideals of that vision, because even this evening we'll be celebrating that in our dream banquet at 6 o'clock. If you haven't gotten your ticket, make sure you get it. We have about 50 left. At our dream banquet, that we are celebrating God's vision for unity. My wife will tell you, I look up to figures like Martin Luther King Jr. I enjoy the rhetoricians. I enjoy the orators of our ancient time. I enjoy those who stood by their convictions and died with their convictions. And one of the writings that I enjoy from Dr. King is one called In a Single Garment of Destiny. Therein lies one of my favorite quotes. One of my favorite quotes, he says, if I recall it correctly, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. He says, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I believe that is applicable to the description of Abram's call in the text. As God has called Abram, and God's calling upon Abram's life wasn't just to bless Abram, but everyone connected to him. You did read it in your hearing, didn't you? He said, well, God said that all of the earth, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. Hear me well. All of us, we are expressions of God's faithfulness. And we honor God when we choose to intentionally be blessings to others. In other words, God has blessed us to be blessings. And God calls Abram. The text says that if you follow the 11th chapter to 12th chapter, you understand it's the ebb and flow of the genealogy and that those generations that carried over from the Tower of Babel up unto Abram. What was interesting is that in the 11th chapter, you have this family and the father, Terah, is leading his family down, it says, to a place from Ur to Haran. And what is very peculiar about the text is that in the midst of this chronology, if you would, God interrupts the flow and the text opens up in the 12th verse and says, "Now the Lord said to Abram." That catches my attention, Leslie, because it begs the question, why Abram? Why would God call Abram? I mean, Abram, Joshua 24 and 2 indicates from God that Abram's ancestry were people who were cultic worshipers, idolaters, if you would. Why would God call Abram? I mean, Abram wasn't even a preacher, yet God called him. Abram wasn't a missionary or a minister, yet God called him. Abram wasn't even a believer, and yet God called him. Because the calling of God upon humanity and upon our individual lives is not limited to our current context, our proclivities, or our past experiences. When God calls you, it's not about you. It's all about his faithfulness. God called Abram, who turns into Abraham because God is faithful. I want you to get that. That God's calling is not predicated on the conditions of our personalities. God's calling is predicated upon God's faithfulness. And God calls you just like he calls Abram and he calls me because God can do more with you than your past can do against you. God called Adam and Eve as the progenitors of humanity. God called Noah to be a constructor and carpenter and captain of the first animal-friendly cruise liner. Now, if God can call him, God can call you, God can call me, and God can call Abram. Because God calls us to be blessings because he wants to use us as models to the world that he is still faithful. You know, God really caught my attention. I was in the house just over the weekend. I was in the house. And for those who don't know, Leo, I have four kids, four wonderful children who can make any size house sound small real quickly. For wonderful children. I love them dearly. But you know, when the house gets quiet is when parents know to get concerned. Any parents gonna holler at me for a moment here? Am I telling the truth in here? And the house got quiet. And so Hank, I did what all fathers typically would do. I meandered through the quiet places of the house and kind of leaned in and peeked in. And I noticed it was real quiet in my little girl's room, my 9-year-old in her room. And I inched my way into her room and I looked over and she was in the corner playing with dolls. I want you to catch this. I really want you to get this. She was playing with dolls and her room is littered with dolls. But my attention, Mike, was on the fact that the doll she was playing with looked like it had some miles on it. No, this particular doll, I'm serious, it had some personal artistry that was drawn and disconfigured all about the doll. I mean, the doll hair looked like it was dyed in Kool-Aid. The doll teeth was jagged. The ear was bent over. I'm just trying to. And at that point, I'm struck with inquiry, and I said to her, I said, baby, why out of all the dolls in your room? I mean, we just bought you this doll. You got this doll right here that walks with you. You got this doll that'll eat and digest the food. Why all these dolls, and you're going to choose this doll that the arm is not even fitting right, it's crooked? And she said, well, Daddy. That's how I love it when she does that. She looks at me with them big old eyes and says, "You well, Daddy, you see, it was my choice." I paused. She didn't stop there. "And this is my story. And I picked her to be in my story." Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, boy, I learned from a 9-year-old theologian. God says, I picked Abram because this is my story. God says, I pick you because this is my story. And God wants to use all of us in his story. Why Abram? Because God wanted to demonstrate his faithfulness through Abram. And hear me well, God wants to demonstrate his faithfulness through our lives. So when the world sees us and others see us, they will know that there is a true and a living God. And God is calling you just like he called Abram in the text. The question is, can he count on you? Can he really count on you? Because notice the call. God called Abram, and first thing he says in verse 1 and 2 is, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. This calls for a sacrifice, because when you really understand the context, Abram is the oldest of three sons from Terah. Abram being the oldest is the only one left in the household when his father Terah settles in Haran. And what's more interesting is that his father witnessed his younger brother, Abram's younger brother, die while they were in Ur, and his name was Haran, and his father settles in a place called Haran. And Abram, being the oldest, is caring for his father in a place that reminds them of their sorrow. And yet God comes in and he speaks and tells Abram he has a call for his life. And the call is this: go unto a land that I will show you. Don't miss the process here. He says, go and then I will show. Which means when we truly accept the call that God has on all of our lives, that we are going to take a step of faith to be the blessings that God has blessed us to be. That you don't mind going. It's interesting here. God didn't command Abram to stay with those who look like him, act like him, behave like him, or liked what he liked. I'm going to work today. He says, go out and all the family will be blessed. Hear me, brothers and sisters. We have to hear the call of God upon our lives. That just as Abram was called by God, all of us are called by God. And we are called by God to be a blessing. Why Abram? Because God chose him. God chose him as a model. And the gift of God's calling, as the text says, are irrevocable. That when God calls you, he doesn't retract it. Benjamin May says it this way: every man and woman is born into the world to do something unique and something distinctive. And if he or she does not do it, it will not be done. God has called you. He's called you, my brother. The question is, will you hear his call? Because when you hear the call of God, you'll exercise trust in God and the promises of God for your life. He called you to be a blessing. He's called Abram in this text to be a blessing. The text says, God tells him, and when you go, verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Don't miss this. He says, now go and I'll show you where to go. Which means you have to stay in constant communication with God as you answer the call of God. And as you answer the call of God, you have the promises from God that God will bless your life. And notice the peculiarity of the blessing, or even if you would, the personal blessing, the personal promise that comes. Look at the words. God says, I will show you. I will bless you. I will go with you. God says right there in the text, I will bless you and I will make you. I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Who's doing the work in this promise? God. Don't miss the personal touch here. That God, when we answer the call of God, it brings us into a personal relationship with God. And God wants us. Here's the blessing. Here's the blessing here. Here's the great blessing of the text. That God is calling you to experience a blessed life by coming into relationship with a great God. He says, I will make your name great. It speaks to a personal relationship. I want you to hear this, because from this point on, on the duration of the Old Testament, God is known by others through this relationship, because he becomes the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Hear the personal touch in here. And the question is with all of us as we journey on this life and God is calling us to be a strategic difference, make a strategic difference in the life of others. God wants to be so much God in your life that when others see your life, they'll see your God. So what are you doing with the blessing? I saw this just this morning. Young couple was carrying a baby and that baby had a bottle. That baby was enjoying that bottle, and something happened. You know what that baby did? Took the bottle out of their mouth and offered it to the mouth of the mother. I don't want you to miss this. That even in an infant, we can see a desire to be a blessing. And so oftentimes in our lives, we lose that desire and get caught up in this personal accumulation of accoutrements, and we want to hoard it to ourselves when God has blessed us to be a blessing to others. And the question comes, the matter is, will you trust God's promises enough to not be stingy on the blessings God has given you and be a blessing to somebody else? I hear echoing from the corridors of time, Jesus saying the two commandments in which we must base our lives upon, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. That means getting our vertical relationship with God right, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's getting our horizontal relationship right. That means then when you've been blessed with a relationship with God, then you can't help but be a blessing to others because God has blessed you. Can God count on you? Can God count on you to answer the call? Can he count on you to trust in his promises for your life? He tells Abram, I will make you into a great nation. That's a legacy. He tells, that's a lineage. And he tells Abram, he said, I will make your name great. That's a legacy. But the blessing in the text is that God is with Abram. You see it? Because God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who dishonor you. Don't miss his brothers. Son, come up here. I want to use you for a second. Come here. He looked at me like, really, daddy? Really? You want me to come up here? Yeah, come here. Come on, quickly. You're too young to move that slow, boy. Come on up here. Boy, he looks so nice. Look at him. This is Trey. Give Trey a hand. Give him a hand. This is my son. This is my namesake. And because of his relationship with me, anybody who chooses to bless him, I'm inclined to bless. But don't get the suit fool you. Don't let the suit fool you. If anybody tries to curse him, they got to get through me first. Now raise this as a visible representation of what happens when you get in relationship with God. Because God says that when you answer his call, you can trust his promise. That so much so that anybody who comes and enters your way will have to get to him before they even get to you. And those who bless you, he will bless. And those who curse you, he will curse. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You look good, boy. Boy look good. That boy look good. Hear me well, that God is calling all of us to trust in his promises. He blessed Mary. Mary is called the blessed of all women, but she wasn't blessed until she made the declaration, Lord, may it be unto me as you have said. God went out on the coast of the Galilee, after Galilee, and he called disciples to come and follow me. The question is, will you trust God enough that you will take your very life trusting his promises and being a blessing to other individuals? Because God is calling you to be a blessing. So hear his call. Hear the call of God. Trust the promises of God for your life. Here we also see with Abram, follow the plan of God for your life. The text says in verse 2 and 3 that God says, I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation. But notice the purpose. So that you will be a blessing. See, when God touches your life, it's not just to touch your life. That God has a strategic plan that your very life will serve as a blessing to someone else. And in order for us to really realize this in our own lives, we have to follow the dictates of God's word in Abram's testimony. Go, because there's some things we got to detach from. Go, because there's some things we have to let go of. Go, because there's some things that we're trying to hold on to that God is trying to push us past, because God wants to show you another side of being in a relationship with him. But there's some things you got to let go of, and there's some things you got to cling on to. And the reason is so that you will be a blessing. That you will be a blessing. So follow the plans of God. Follow him so when God calls you, that God is able to use you to connect others to you, that they might be connected back to him. Have you ever wondered why you live where you live? Have you ever wondered why your family is your family? You ever wondered why you work where you work? Because God has assigned your life and assigned you to be a blessing in that space. But you got to hear his call. You got to be willing to follow his plan for your life. Anybody ever, you ever drove in Houston traffic before? Anybody? What about 45? Any 45 drivers here? I'm not talking about driving 45. You drove 45, then stay off the highway. But you ever drove up and down 45? You know, those five, that five-lane stretch where you get a chance to really lean in it? I'm just saying. You know. Have you ever driven in traffic when you had to follow someone? Without a GPS unit to know where you're going. It calls that your attention remains on the individual's vehicle that you're following. It calls you to be so attentive that when they change lanes, you change lanes. That when they speed up, listen, if you follow me, speed up. And I get tired of my wife tapping me on the shoulder. You know they following you. I say, well, look, if they're following me, their job to follow me. My job is to lead. Don't look at me like that. Pray for me. Just pray for me. That's how it is when we're following God. As God is blessing you, he tells Abram in the text, you're following me. I'm showing you step by step where to go and how to be a blessing. Everywhere you go, every station you are in life, any place you touch in life, God has called you that if he's touched you, that you touch that place with a blessing. That when God blesses you, you are committed to blessing others. He says, so that you will be a blessing. Because in you being a blessing, you're committing to being a blessing. It transforms your life. That God is able to use you as an instrument in his redeeming hands to help draw others to him. It was personal. It was personal and it was practical in Abram's life. And it's personal and it's practical in our lives when we choose to live our lives to be a blessing to others. That's what God has called us to do. See, I remember when my family was in a low point. We were in a low place in our lives as we watched all of our earthly possessions being pushed away by flood waters. I won't ever forget this because it was a low place for us. And there I was, preacher, pastor, parent, watching the very church in which we ministered and flooded with water. And I sat there here, actually, in Houston. And I remember it was a very, very low place. And all of a sudden, somebody who I didn't know before, Lorraine, they called me. And they said, "We have something for you." And it was a youth group. I don't know if you can see this or not. From Cornerstone Baptist Church in the Woodlands. I was at a low place. They didn't know me, but they had been blessed. And they called us and said the Lord had put on their hearts, had put on their hearts to be a blessing to a family. And it was in this year they adopted our family and bought gifts for our kids at Christmas. They were blessed to be a blessing. God is calling you to be a blessing with your whole life. With the remainder of your life, who will you bless? Can God count on you to not be selective in who you bless? Not that you're just committed to blessing those who like what you like or look like you look, but you're committed to blessing all because God blessed you. I told you we're celebrating Dr. King. One of Dr. King's mentors, Samuel DeWitt Proctor, once commented on how when King was traveling all over the country, people were trying to be a blessing to him. And there was this tall, slender, bald-headed white man. Now, if you're in here, I'm not talking about you. Who called up and inquired whether or not Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had a pension plan and an insurance plan set up. He had done his research, and he was a missionary from Burma who had retired and now was working for the American Baptist Society for ministers and missionaries. And he called to find out if Dr. King had a pension plan. He found he didn't. But every time he tried to get close to King, King's associates thought, one, he might be from the KKK, or two, he was FBI. So they pushed him away. But he was persistent, traveling all around the country. And finally, he was able to get close to Dr. King, sign him up for a pension plan and retirement package and insurance, just 90 days shy of his assassination. Don't miss this. That this one man didn't stop where he was, but went across the country to be a blessing to one man who would be a blessing to so many. Hear me well. God called Abram, one man, to be a blessing to one family, to be a blessing to one people, the Jewish nation, who as a nation would be a blessing to every nation through Jesus Christ. Because had not Abram accepted it, then Abram, we wouldn't have David. And had we not David, we wouldn't have the lineage that goes to Jesus Christ, all because he chose to be a blessing. My brothers and sisters, God has blessed you to be a blessing. In the words of a song I remember from old, I pray it's your commitment that if I can help somebody as I pass along the way, if I can cheer them up with a word or a song, if I can tell someone they are traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do the duty as a Christian ought and bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message that the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. If you can be a blessing to everyone around you because God has blessed you, then your living will not be in vain. God has called you to be a blessing because that's how Christ came, as a blessing. Christ came on the landscape of humanity to be a blessing to humanity. answering the call. You remember when he stood in the synagogue and he said, I've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captive free, to liberate the captive, to give sight to blinded eyes, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, I've been called to be a blessing. And when you accept the blessing of Jesus Christ, you then are adopted into the same call to be a blessing. When you accept that Jesus loved you enough to die for you, that your sins were taken care of on Calvary's cross, you then are blessed to be a part of the family of God. And as the family of God, you got to live up to the family mantra that we've been blessed to be a blessing. So commit this day, my brothers, to be a blessing. At work, brothers, will you be a blessing? My sisters, on your daily activities, will you choose to be a blessing? As a parent, will you be a blessing? As a grandparent, will you be a blessing? Because God has blessed you to be a blessing.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.